Shalom, saints. God bless you this evening and welcome to the Bible study. I think we've given enough time for people to join. Hopefully that should give us an opportunity. So welcome to Wednesday night. Once again, it comes around quickly. And what you wanted to have a look at this evening is a continuation from last week. Try to see how far that we can get. We're looking at the seals, but the seals of our lives, the mystery of our lives. That's what you're looking at. Just trying to take these spiritual principles and trying to apply them inside of our own lives. I think that is maybe a way to get us to understand things well enough, we hope. And I hope that we'll find ourselves in the Word, which is what we always desire to do. So I will share my screen here and then we can get ourselves started. So we're looking this evening at the mystery of our lives once again. We're looking at your Macedonian call, which is obviously speaking about the Apostle Paul. When we're speaking of the Macedonian call, that's from Acts chapter 16. I'll read just from the scripture, Acts chapter 16, from verse 6. If you have your Bibles available, let's read the scripture and then we can pray. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So that's Paul's Macedonian call. We know it all from the scriptures. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you for reading your word. We just long for your word to be made flesh. And may you help us upon this evening, Lord, and even just the smallest of ways, Father, that may become more of a reality unto us. Praying for each and every person who has gathered this evening, for your grace, your mercy, your blessing upon every soul, every life, every person, and that you'd guide and lead and help us upon this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the Macedonian call of Paul. It's quite a call, the Macedonian call. It's quite a thing. This was the bringing together and the laying open of the Lord's will and purpose for Paul at that junction inside of his life. You know, so I just, on the picture that we've got, we see it's a vision that appears unto him. We spoke last week about redemptive visions, about the right people in the right place at the right time. How the Lord has to get everything together for the fulfillment of a vision. So this vision comes to Paul. He sees this man of Macedonia and calls him to come across. Now we'll see there were four conditions or four things that needed to take place for this vision to be fulfilled. Yeah, so the Lord came and revealed to Paul that he should be in Macedonia, but there were four things that needed to take place. And we'll have a look at these one by one just to show how the will of the Lord works, how he works in our lives, how he works in your calling, how he works individually, how he works in the age that we're living. But firstly, there's got to be the working of providence. We'll have a look at that. You know, he's the God of circumstances. God has got to be working in circumstances to bring things to the right place. Secondly, there's the working of Paul. Thirdly, the working of Lydia, and finally, the working of the Holy Spirit. So we'll see, in order for this Macedonian call to be what the Lord wants it to be, there's got to be a great coming together of these things. And this speaks to us also of the mystery of our lives. This is how the Lord breaks the seals of our lives as well, just as we're going to see when he breaks the seal, the mystery for Lydia and the mystery for the Philippian jailer and for the church in Philippi, which doesn't exist at this time. But Paul just gets a Macedonian call. And I think anybody with an evangelistic gift, that would really, really speak deep down inside of your soul, a Macedonian call. Because what could be greater than for the Lord to make it very, very clear where you're supposed to be, you know, calling you to a certain place in a certain time, knowing that there's people there that need help at that time. Now, there's the people of the vision, this man of Macedonia. So let's think firstly, the work of providence. Now, when you're speaking of providence, we're speaking of God's unseen hand. I love the way Brabham says it. He says, he is the God of circumstance. And that's what divine providence is. It's God being the God of circumstance. He has different ways that he can lead us. We'll see it in this whole unfolding. When the seal is broken, this mystery is unfolded at this time, at this junction in the ministry of Paul and of Lydia and all of them. You'll see that God has two ways of working. Can you give some water, please, Jen? One of them, he's the God of circumstance, where he can lead us and guide us and guide our footsteps through changing our circumstances, leading us from place to place. We don't even know that it's him who's doing it. We don't recognize or realize that it's him. But the other way is, we'll see with Paul as well, he can lead us by vision, by revelation, by the direct leadership of the Spirit. So the God has these different ways that he works. And these things work interchangeably, together, hand in hand, most of the time. So it's his unseen hand. You know, there's that song, I'm trusting your unseen hand that lead me to the promised land. And this, you know, and God worked like that in the life of Lydia. Now, she didn't realize, you know, she's a woman of, thank you very much, she's a woman of Thyatira. You know, she's from Asia Minor, but she finds herself in Philippi. You know, the circumstances have led her to a certain place at a certain time at this junction, and she's exactly in the right place, but she doesn't know that. Now, she worships the Lord. She doesn't know the Lord very well. She's just like a Jewish proselyte. But God has used circumstance, as he does so many times, of getting his people to exactly the right place at the right time. So Lydia's already there, but Paul needs to be there, because we need this coming together for this Macedonian call to be fulfilled. So God is going to lead in different ways. And you're going to find in your life and mine, it's exactly how he leads as well. If you speak of God being the God of circumstances, I think sometimes we fail to realize just how great and intricate God's dealings and movings and workings are behind the outer workings of your life. You know, like this invisible realm, this unseen hand that we're speaking about, this mystery of our lives where God is working and moving and leading, but you don't even know that he's doing it. I think to me, that is the most powerful thing about the dealings of the Lord, how we can get people like Lydia to the right place at the right time. Yet she has no idea that God is governing and guiding and leading her in her circumstances. If you look at a watch like the one there, we just see the watch face. We see maybe the hour hand changes once an hour, minute hand changes once a minute. The date changes once a day if you got, you know, a watch like that. And we don't really realize that in order for that change on the outward, which doesn't seem to be much, just the moving of a minute or an hour, we don't realize the continual movement of all of these interlocking and interconnected pieces inside the inner workings of the watch. And each of these has got to like cooperate and work correctly with the rest. One little gear moving with another little gear, all powered by the mainspring. You know, there's a mainspring behind it all. But all of this interlocking and interconnectiveness, maybe you can go a full minute. You can just hear it ticking. You don't see what's the purpose of all these things moving there. But at the appointed time, you find chakka, the minute hand moves, or the hour hand moves. Then you say, okay, all of that was working together to bring about this result. And that's how the Lord works inside of our lives as well. You know what I mean? And the inner workings of a watch like this, this is a master craftsman. There's a great design behind this, an intricate design. This is absolutely nothing compared to his working, the working of God's mystery inside of our lives. And many times there's a lot of working, a lot of movement going on within the inner workings of your life. And you don't see too much moving or working on the outside. And we end up thinking, but where's the Lord? But you don't realize that he's working all the time. He's just moving things and pieces and bringing things to a certain place. And then at certain junctions in life, he opens that seal for us and we see, okay, this is what all of this was working towards. Even the natural world, if you look at diamond mining or you look at gold mining or those things, it's very interesting to see. You know, this natural world or natural life teaches us how much time and effort and coordination is required to obtain something that's valuable. Now you see that great hole there, that's digging diamonds there. You see the huge equipment. You see the one on the top left. Look at the size of the man next to it. It's huge equipment there. They move hundreds, thousands, even millions of tons of rocks and ore and overburden to get down to a certain seam or a vein of gold or a seam of material that may have the possibility of having diamonds inside of it. And then they bring it and truck it at great cost and expense using heavy plant and machinery. They bring it to these plants where it's sorted, you know, cut, separated from the rock. And there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people working in these industries. And all they're trying to achieve is to get little pieces of diamond like that. So all of that effort, all of that heavy equipment machinery, all of these different people with skilled jobs, engineers, and then you've got your laborers and all that, then your sorters and that, bringing things out, transporting things around is simply to get something that is very, very valuable. And once it's cut and it's polished, you find out that all of that effort and all of that time and expense was more than worth it. They get back far more than all of the effort they put in. For example, when you put one of those diamonds on the crown jewels, yeah, the Cullinan diamond, whatever that came from Kimberley in South Africa. Yeah, so in this particular process, we see God is willing to move people and nations and do great things because nothing is too costly in the work of redemption. Now, for him to make himself real and reveal himself to his children and reveal himself in his children and for his work to go forward, God can move 150 people from Africa if he wants to a place just to save one person. And all of those people will labor and work and strive. And in the end, in eternity, it's worth far more than all of the effort and the sacrifice that was put in, and nobody would ever complain. I mean, the Lord can do great things like that. He can move people and take them through great sacrifice to achieve his purpose in the lives of his children. And that's really what providence speaks about. It can sometimes disrupt entire kingdoms or economies, even the careers of people. It can destroy your ambitions. It can disrupt your lives, you know, break the status quo, get you out of your comfort zone, move you from place to place. And because what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to the right place at the right time. That's the whole thing that he's trying to do inside of your life at each junction, because he wants to fulfill the mystery of your life. He wants to fulfill this calling that he's called you to. And if he doesn't reveal it to us in time, the full purpose and extent of what all these workings mean, eternity will show it. And nobody's going to complain when they're there, because you're going to look back and see that he does all things well. That he is indeed the master of our destiny. There's Joseph and Mary. And we said it last week, Brabham speaks about that cruel-hearted decree of Herod, telling them they've got to go back to their city to be taxed. And there's Mary and Joseph having to go back. She's 9 months pregnant. It seemed cruel. It seemed hard. But this was the God of circumstance at work, getting his people to the right place at the right time so the seal could be broken, so this mystery of redemption could be made known. And maybe they didn't even fully know or understand, why is it this has to be done? But in due season, when the mystery is unfolded and, you know, they get further down into the mystery, then they look back, they see, okay, the Lord knew what he was doing. We had to be in this place at this time to fulfill the word. So he knows how to get us to where we are supposed to be. So where's the problem? There's Lot looking down in the valley of Sodom, well watered like the Garden of Eden. The Bible said the weak point is your fallen nature. Because if you're not careful, you're going to override God's working of providence inside of your life. When he's working in your circumstances, the God of circumstance, if you don't discern and you're not like yielded and you're not surrender to him at that particular kind of a junction, you can quite easily miss a junction. Yeah, you can put your ambition in the way of God's divine ambition. You can look down and say, I'm going to take my family down to Sodom because it looks a far more comfortable life. Now, that surely at that junction when the Lord is breaking open the mystery, the seal of redemption at that time to Abraham, you know, through Sarah and, you know, all of the things that God was doing there as Melchizedek and El Shaddai and all the revelation he was giving. And you find a man that wanted to walk away from that to follow his own ambition, his own feelings. And that's where your five senses many times are the great enemy. Because if you really want to walk with the God of providence, the God of circumstance, you've got to walk by the sixth sense, because we walk by faith and not by sight at those junctions. And if you're sensitive enough inside of your soul and you get prayerful and yielded, you can, okay, Lord, I don't understand what's taking place, but I know that you're in the program. So as long as you're in the program, all is well. It's going to come out well. Now, because God is the God of circumstance and he works all things to the good of his children. He moves, removes kings, kingdoms, empires. He'll do whatever he has to do because he has a purpose for his children. And we just need to be careful that we don't override the working of the Spirit at those particular junctions. When you find yourself at a junction, you're not sure what's going on, it's a good thing to draw near to the Lord. Yeah, it's a good thing to just walk a little bit closer at those kind of times so that you walk in harmony with his purpose and not contrary to his purpose, that you don't make a big decision. Now, there must have been a buzzer. I mean, the Bible says Lot was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. There must have been a buzzer inside of himself telling him not to do that, because God will always warn us. But obviously he overrode that buzzer, and look, he went and messed everything up, and his wife became a pillar of salt. Other relative sons-in-laws and that in Sodom got destroyed in the burning of Sodom. And he disgraced himself with his daughter. So he really missed a junction there. And you don't want to be doing that in life. It's not something we want to do too often. So we see Paul now, God is the God of the closed door. Sometimes this is how he works. Providence works. The God of circumstance works inside of his life, in our lives. So Paul's coming from Antioch. We read it just now. He's coming to Phrygia. He wants to go left down into Asia to preach. That's Paul's desire. I mean, he really wants to do something for the Lord. He's being very sincere. He's familiar with Asia. This is where he's from. He's from Tarsus. You know, these are his people. You know. And the Lord now has a mystery at this time that's to be unfolded. He doesn't come and show Paul the full mystery. He just forbids him to preach. He was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. So God closes the door to the left. So Paul says, okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. I don't understand the full extent of this mystery at this time, but let's keep moving on. And that's a real key at those junctions. God, when we were across in Belgium, the one brother preaching says, God can move and steer a moving ship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you try to get a ship and steer it when it's in dock. You can't. Now you got to get the ship moving. So Paul's trying to do his best, walking, trying to find out what the will of God is. What is your perfect will? Where do you want me to be at this time, Lord? I'm not exactly sure. Okay, let's go down and preach in Asia. And he's forbidden by the Holy Ghost. So he says, okay, let's keep going. And they move on. They get to Mysia. And they think, okay, let's essay. Let's try. Let's see if this is the will of God. Let's go up to the right now into Bithynia. And it says, and the Holy Ghost forbid them to go there as well. God closed the door. You know, so he's not going to go back, because God never calls his people backwards. He's forbidden. The door's closed to the left. The door's closed to the right. So they just keep going forward and they end up in Troas, which is the very furthest place you can go in Asia Minor before you get to Europe, because God has a purpose. He wants to open the gospel in Europe. This is the junction. There's a seal of redemption to be broken. And this God now is going to visit, bring his message now to Europe. And he wants Paul to go and do it, but Paul doesn't know this yet. Now, but Paul, now, what happens to a believer, and I'm sure it's the same with you, I hope it'll be the same with me, when the doors are being closed, and it seems this just isn't working right, and that just isn't working right. At that junction, it's quite easy to get frustrated and disappointed. Paul didn't. Paul knew that whenever he closes a door, it's because there's an open door somewhere, and we just need to keep going, and he's going to open the door. But those closed doors, They must have brought Paul to a deeper desperation, a deeper desire to know the will of the Lord. You know, he's saying, but Lord, you're closing these doors. You're forbidding me to go to Asia. You're forbidding me to enter Bithynia. What is your will? It reminds me of the prophet when he wanted to preach the seven trumpets and nothing would work. They couldn't get the hall. Then they managed to get a place, but they could only get it for certain days of the week. And it just wasn't going to work. He says, so I went in before the Lord sincerely and I said, Lord, I may not know how to say it in the right words, but what is holding me back from preaching these trumpets? And then they says that then he came down in the revelation and says, the trumpets are for the Jews. They're not for the Gentiles. And you've already preached as much as you need to under the sixth seal. Yeah, it's the persecution of the Jews. You know, so sometimes the doors close and that to get us to a place that we so much want to know the will of God at that junction. And when you go and seek him with all your heart, you're going to find him. You know, so Paul now gets to Troas. Maybe that special prayer, they shut themselves, they get themselves a room. Him and Luke, whoever he's with, Silas at that time, they shut themselves in. They seek, okay, Lord, we've come to the sea. We don't know where to go now. We've come to Troas. Where is it that you want us to go? And when he now gets into that place, looking across the Aegean Sea, he sees Europe, the other side. He's never been there before. But now at night, a man of Macedonia stands before him in a vision and says, come on over to Macedonia. Macedonia is Greece. It's exactly where Philippi was. So this is a Macedonian call. Now come on over to Macedonia and help us. Now the Lord's will became clear. So straight away, it says immediately they got on a boat and they headed across. Now I just put this one here. If you ask for silver, if God is closing a door to you, if God is not opening something up to you, is holding something back to you, the Bible says in Psalm 84:11, God will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. So if it seems like God is withholding a good thing from you, you find this with marriage especially. I see saints, this is the big issue. It seems sometimes at certain junctions that God seems to be withholding that seal, the breaking of that particular mystery inside of your life. But, you know, and you'll be asking at that time, you might even be thinking of a certain person saying, wow, Lord, please, maybe it's this person, it's that, and that door gets closed, and that person gets married to somebody else. You know, we can look at it in two ways. We can look at it in a way of being disappointed, or we can look at it in a way of saying, good Lord, you've shown me your will. Now, because maybe you're asking for silver. You know, you're asking, Lord, please, maybe it's this person, but the Lord saying, no, I have gold. I have the real thing for you. And that can work in any aspect of life for us. You may want a certain job, but you just can't get it. You may want to live in a certain place. It just doesn't work, and the doors keep closing. Now, God, who is the God of the closed door, is also the God of the open door. And when he holds something back in a season, like with Paul, don't go to Bithynia, don't go to Asia. That was a sign of God's favor. God had a perfect will for Paul at that time, the perfect place that he was supposed to be at that time. Now, they say that good is always the enemy of the best. Sometimes you want to accept second best. It's okay. No, but the Lord doesn't want his children to have second best. He wants us to have exactly his will. That's where the fullness of the blessing is when you're perfectly in the will of God. You know, so that's why he blocks, closes these doors. But Paul has walked with the Lord long enough to know that, okay, if God is closing these doors, all of these things are leading me to a point where he's going to show me the open door. And in due season, the vision comes and God shows him the open door, which is the Macedonian call inside of his life. The Bible says to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, Asia, if you're going to have a look, I'll just quickly skip back to that map. Okay. In Asia, you find your seven churches. You're going to find right away from Ephesus, you're going to find it all the way to Laodicea, or in Asia Minor. So it's not as if the Lord didn't have a purpose for them. He did, but not at that time. Now, they were going to have this season of visitation. They were going to have their churches there. They were going to have the seals, the mystery open to them at their own particular junction. But God does everything timeously. To everything, there's a season. So this season, because for the Lord to do his work effectively, He always has to do a lot of preparation first. That's the God of circumstance. Now, he has to move people from place to place and prepare the hearts of people and take people through different, maybe disappointments, different, you know, things. Maybe somebody has to lose a loved one, and another person has to lose their job, and another, whatever. You know, God knows how to get our hearts and our minds into the right place, a fertile condition, so he can reveal himself to us at that time. So there's a fertile moment if you want to do something. You know, farming teaches you that. You've got to sow in the right season. It says that in Ecclesiastes, a time to plant and a time to pluck up, a time to harvest. So the key in the spiritual life is to find that optimum time. You know, the right place, the right time, the right people, bring them together, and you're going to find wonderful things are going to start taking place because God's will can fully unfold itself. So there's this time for every purpose. It wasn't time yet for Asia or for Bithynia. The Lord still had to do more preparation work and move things to the place that he wanted to be. In due season, he's going to send Peter there. He's going to send Paul there. He's going to send his servants there in due season because he knows how to bring everything together in his time, that optimum time, that fertile time to get the optimum results, to get the full virtue from that particular junction in time. Now, the outworking of providence here. Now look, there we see Lydia. She's from Thyatira. You know, she's actually from Asia. And now she's in Philippi. And Paul is also from Asia, and he's been called to go across to Macedonia. He doesn't yet know that he's supposed to be in Philippi. He just knows he's supposed to go to the province, the region, which is to go to Macedonia. And Philippi is one of the cities in Macedonia. So there's going to now need to be the further leadership of the Holy Ghost to Paul. He still doesn't know the full, he doesn't know who is this man of Macedonia. Who does he represent? Where is he? You know, because Macedonia is quite a big place. There's quite a lot of places that he could go to. So he presses Paul in the spirit, moves him across, and then things are now coming to the place the Lord wants them to be because Paul is now heading in the right direction. He has Lydia. She's already in Philippi. The Bible doesn't tell us why she's there except for that she's a seller of purple. You know, they would take those different shells, very exotic shells, and crush them and get purple dye and dye cloth. And that it was very, very lucrative business, selling that purple cloth. It was well in demand. It was in fashion. So maybe it was her business. Who knows? Maybe her husband's passed away. Maybe she's never married. Doesn't even tell us in the Bible. She has a household of servants. So she's not a poor lady at all. She's a pretty rich lady. But something has moved her from Thyatira to Philippi. Now that's the God of circumstance. Just as much as God moves you and me. I mean, and like we said last week, how many of us are in our home countries? Not too many of us. Now God knows how to move us by circumstance. And as long as you're not willingly resisting his will, you know, willingly hardening yourself and doing things your own way, God is always going to get his people to the right place at the right time. Now he knows the right way to do it. And there's the two ways he does it. One is the God of circumstance. He uses providence, events, circumstances. You know, could be economies, job offers, studies. It can be so many different things. Maybe disappointments in one place. So you move to, it could be famine, could be civil war. You know, you could be a refugee, you could whatever. But God knows how to move his people to the right place at the right time. And that's the most powerful thing. If you go back in the mystery of your life, if you go back to that picture of the watch, and you just think of all of the things that had to work together to bring you to the place when you got saved. Now you think, you might have been in a country where you weren't born. You might have, you know, there were so many things. If you look back, maybe it was your parents had to move from a certain place. So, yeah, there's so many different interconnected, interlocking circumstances and conditions that had to work perfectly smoothly to bring things to that point in time when the Lord revealed himself. I just think of when the Lord revealed the message to me. Yeah, you go back through your own testimony and you look and you say, but wow. It is just a powerful thing to think of God being the God of circumstance. Now, how he knows how to move And then we see the outworking of his providence. We see how it moves people and guides people and shepherds us, sometimes through closed doors, through different ways, brings us to a place. Maybe it was your parents moved to a certain place. You never wanted to be there. And then that's when the Lord meets you in that place and you find out that God had a seal to be broken in your life, but it had to be in that place at that time. And there had to be specific people that God would use to break that seed inside of your life. Because all of these things work together. This is the mystery of how God works inside of our lives. So whatever's brought her there, whatever the true reason was, the great reason behind it all, why she's in Philippi, because her and Paul have to meet. And this is the place that God has appointed for them to meet. And he knows how to prepare. He had prepared her heart. She'd been through different things. She's a Gentile, but it says she worshipped God. She was a proselyte. You know, she knew the law. She comes to the river on the Sabbath day. They come to pray. Now, God really knows how to do these things. It just comes down to the words of that song, Do You Know Grace? If you look where you've come from and where you are, I'll ask you, do you know grace? I mean, it's absolutely grace. If it wasn't for grace, every one of us would be out of the will of God. Many of us would be in the grave. Many of us would be married to the wrong person, doing the wrong job. Many of us would be here, whatever that it is. But God, because he so much esteems the souls of his children, he doesn't leave many of the major big decisions of our lives to us. He's the God of circumstances. He determines those things for us because he knows better than us. And if we can just read and discern the signs of the times locally inside of our own lives at any junction, you can normally see what it is that God wants you to do, to be who he wants you to be with, because God will vindicate it to you by the testimony of your own soul. You'll know it from your own soul, because God becomes very, very real when you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. You'll see progress and growth, and you'll just see, you know, momentum and God's mystery purpose, the mystery of his will that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 1. You'll see it just taking care of itself in your life. And doesn't mean there won't be hardships and challenges. There's got to be. I mean, because that's all part of the mystery of his will for your life. But you do know when you're in the will of God. I mean, any child of God knows when you're in the will of God, and you know when you're out of the will of God, because your own soul, your own spiritual life will testify that of you. So what could be more satisfying to me, more like stimulating when the revelation comes, than when you get to those junctions and God breaks a seal inside of your life, the next junction of your life, and moves you on? I put that song today on the group, and then Brother Wilmore put a very good statement. He says, you know, it's how wonderful it is when God caps off somebody's life. You know, God like crowns somebody's ministry, like those saints there in South Africa calling Brother Janssen, you know, commemorating all of his years of ministry and music. It was a wonderful thing. It's like God is crowning somebody's ministry. And those things happen if you look inside of your life, in whatever calling you are, no matter how simple, no matter how humble it may seem to be. But there's going to be different junctions, different seals that are broken, where God is going to move you on, and God's going to make himself more real, and God is going to quicken you, and God is going to do certain things at certain junctions that when you look back, you'll see the progressive unfolding of the purpose of God inside of your life. Now, we don't want to be people going around in the wilderness for 40 years. When we've been at this mountain for too long, let's turn north. We don't want to be that. You don't want to be on a death walk as a believer for too long. You may be in for a season because the Lord's trying to purge you of something. He's trying to purge you of your own stubborn will or your own, you know, overwhelming ambition in your life, like Paul had. You listen to the message, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. I think now it's just called a prisoner. It's a masterpiece of a message. I've said it before. I've got the book. I went through once. I can't remember. I think Brahman speaks of the word ambition like 30-something times in that book. Because, you know, to become a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to overcome your ambition, because God, before the foundation of the world, had a divine ambition for your life. And the enemy of that is your ambition for your life. You've got to get those things in harmony. And sometimes God has to crush our dreams. Sometimes God has to close doors that were, you know, that was the the idol of your life. You wanted to go to a certain college, certain university. I know, like, remember Brother Virgil saying he wanted to go to America. He wanted to learn English so he could translate the message. Applied for the visa, bum, refused. Hey, and it was quite earth-shattering. But God, when he closes the door, he knows what he's doing. Then Brother Virgil came to Ireland. And we've been with him ever since. Yeah, so you'll find these junctions in time and how God works at those junctions in time, progressively inside of our lives. And he'll be preparing you in between the seals when they're being broken, these different junctions of your life. In between there, sometimes you won't see the hour hand moving much. You won't see the minute hand moving very much, but there's a lot going on the inside life. God is doing something because God has to prepare you for the next junction inside of your life, when he can unfold something for you. You know, you could look at it in the Bible, take the life of Joseph, David, all those ones as we normally do, and you'll see it quite clearly. So if you think of making preparations, your parents made preparation for you before you got here. We didn't just wait as parents to say, oh, a baby's been born, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, and we come from the delivery ward, you know, and then we're running around to Toys R Us or whatever, going to try to find a buggy, trying to find some baby's clothes, find some nappies. No. You know that there's a life going to be born in the world, and it's your responsibility because it's your baby. It's your child. So any genuine parent's going to make preparations. So when the baby is born, everything's prepared and ready for it to come. You know, there's no panicking in that. Everything's been thought of beforehand. Everything's been put in place. How much more your heavenly Father with your life, when he saw that you were to be born into this world, you think he didn't make preparation for you? You know, he made preparation in every aspect of his life. That is what providence is. He's the God of circumstance. He's Jehovah Jireh. But sometimes, well, let me put it like this. God's leadership, his working in our life, is always supernatural, but only sometimes we see it as supernatural. At other times, it's working behind the scenes. It's providence, but it's just as supernatural. Now, for God to move Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem just in time for Jesus to be born, that wasn't natural. That was supernatural, but it was working out in the natural. That's what providence is. It's God's complete control of all things, working out, and an unbeliever will look and say, there's no God. That's how much God can hide himself in circumstance and just use circumstances to get his will done. But then there's another way that he works, and he many times reveals his will, like to Paul, in the supernatural. It could be tongues and interpretation, could be dreams, could be visions, could be the revelation of the word coming to you. God has many ways. It could be him speaking in a still small voice. God has many ways supernaturally of revealing his will to us. So, you know, he has different ways according to the purpose that he's trying to achieve. But his leadership and his working in life is always supernatural. If you look back at the mystery of your life, you're going to see it is supernatural what's happened to you, for you to be where you are now, today, as a believer. And you say there's no God is in control of all things. I doubt your experience a little bit. But sometimes it's openly supernatural. Sometimes it's just as supernatural, but working itself out in natural circumstances. Because he's the God of circumstance. He's the unseen hand. It's that unseen hand that guides us. I like this from the Bible dictionary. When speaking of providence, he understands the end from the beginning and times his acts of providence to meet our deepest need in the wisest way. So God knows how to bring it all together to meet your need in the best way. Left to you and I, we're two, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth best, because we just want to get married. Or we just want to get a job. Or we just want to do something. No. The Lord says, wait. I know how to give you the best. I know how to meet your deepest need in the wisest way. But you're going to have to trust me that all these little gears are going to have to work. You're going to have to just trust my supernatural workings behind the scenes to move things to the place. And then when everything's right, like with Paul and Lydia, I'm going to bring the right people together in the right place at the right time. And that mystery is going to be broken. It's going to be a mystery no more. You see, and God works like this inside of our lives. He's the God of circumstance. He's the God of providence. Now, don't forget, he's God hiding in simplicity. Sometimes the most profound parts of the mystery of our lives unfolds itself in the most profound simplicity. Here Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia. It's a powerful vision. I mean, a divine vision. He comes out of it. He must be so anointed. So, wow, guys, God's going to do great things. And how that vision unfolds itself at the beginning is he goes down to a river and he meets some woman sitting by a river praying. Imagine, he's the prophet of the age, the messenger of the age. He's an apostle. But this was the fulfillment of the vision, the beginning of the fulfillment of the vision, to bring him down to a riverside. There wasn't even a church. There wasn't even a synagogue. There were no men there, not enough men who worshipped for them even to have a synagogue. Just women gathered themselves together and pray. But this was years of who knows how much time that God was preparing, moving things to bring it to this particular point. And you could, when those times come, those junctions, you feel it in your soul. You know there's something far greater than yourself taking place. You know that everything's, I don't understand what this means, but something's taking place in the heavenly realm here. And that's what happened when Lydia met Paul, because it's when two omnipotents meet. When he brings Paul and Lydia together. Now, God never ordained you to be saved just anywhere and at any time. He doesn't. Or to receive the word that whoever testified to you, whoever discipled you and took you on as a believer, he never left that to chance. It was just anybody that should do that. That was all part of his preparation. Like he says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. I mean, he knows. And God had to make a preparation for us. And same as you and your life and me individually inside of our life. There was a specific place, a specific time, as with Lydia and Paul. Because she was ordained to hear the word from Paul, not from Peter or James, anybody else. God has ordained that the word must come from Paul to Lydia. Cornelius, he had to hear it from Peter. The Ethiopian eunuch, it was Philip. You know, God knows the right people at the right place. He knows exactly why he brings certain people together at certain junctions. He knows the best person to use in your circumstance. He knows the best person to use in my circumstance. And when these two things come together, you know, this will of God on both sides at the appointed place, the miraculous is going to take place, but it may unfold itself in the natural. But it's going to be powerful in the supernatural realm. Because these are eternal moments manifesting themselves in time. This is now something eternal is now manifesting in time. Something that God from eternity has ordained is unfolding itself as this mystery of your life. God's will is manifesting itself. As Brother Wilmer was preaching that week, these are masterpiece moments. These are precious times when you look back inside of your life. These are real, you know, things that you put in your spiritual diary and you highlight it with a highlighting pen. And you can go back to it. These are places that become an absolute from that time, something that you can always go back to. So that's the working of providence, God bringing them together to meet at a certain place in a certain time. But obviously, Lydia is going to have to cooperate with this as well. Yeah. When God's providence, God's unseen hand, which governs all of his divine resources, whether the heavenly realm, angelic visitation, you know, the working of the Holy Ghost, the working of gifts in people, the revelation of the word, his healing power, whatever, his delivering power, whatever it is, gifts and whatever else that he deals with, providence, which is in control of all of these things. All providences bring themselves together like they array themselves as an army around us, when we're moving in the direction of God's will for our life. When you are in the way, this is what Eliezer said. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So all of heaven's resources were behind Eliezer because he was in the way. He was in the line of duty. He was in the way that God was. He wasn't exactly sure which damsel it's going to be. Paul's not exactly sure who I'm supposed to preach to in Philippi or in Macedonia. But I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So everything, all of God's resources, all those little gears and cogs that are all working together for you when you're in the way, when you're walking in God's way. Even storms work to fulfill his will when you're in the way. The prophet is in the way. He was coming, I think, from Phoenix. I think he was flying. Big storm comes up. He has to land in Memphis. There's the Peabody Hotel in the 1950s. They put him in this fancy hotel for him to stay there. And it was all working, a mystery. There was a redemptive mystery. There was a seal to be broken. And when he gets up the next day, he's going to go and post his letters, and they're coming to pick him, at 7 o'clock to take him to the airport. Goes out at about 6, takes a walk, goes to post, and then the angel of the Lord says, just turn around. He walks past the hotel, says, just keep walking, and he takes him down into the colored district of Memphis. But he knew to keep on following, because in the way, everything is going to work according to his will. These gears and these cogs, you may not see where it's leading to, but it's leading to certain people in a certain place at a certain time. And then finally, now he walks down the street and there's this colored lady leaning over the fence, man's shirt wrapped around her head. And as he walks by, she says, good morning, parson. And he says, good morning. And then he says, how do you know that I'm a parson? I'm a minister. She says, can I tell you my story? She said, have you ever heard in the Bible of the Shunammite woman? I had no children. I was like her. I prayed and God gave me a child. Obviously, her husband passed away. She's a widow woman, just like the Shunammite. The young man went astray, got in the wrong crowd, got a venereal disease, ate the valves of his heart, given up to die, lying in the house, already unconscious. And she prays all night and says, Lord, I was like the Shunammite woman. Where is your Elijah? And God brings down a plane and sends his prophet all the way to her street. And he comes in and he prays for the boy, and the boy's healed, brother, goes back, finds a taxi, gets back to the hotel, gets his things, gets to the airport, and the airplane's been delayed. That is the God of circumstance. He still caught his airplane. You know, so that's what you think of that. You know, this is how God works. It's very powerful. When you're in the way, when you're in the spirit, when you're in harmony with God's purpose for your life, when you're not resisting or fighting or wanting to do your own things, everything is working to a certain place at a certain time to bring forth a certain something. Yeah, bringing you to the next junction in your calling, in your life, in your experience. That's what he's wanting to do. Even storms, they're there to fulfill a divine purpose. Now, Lydia, she has something she has to do. She has to be faithful. If she had decided that, I'm in a foreign land, I'm not going to church. There's not even a church here. It's just a woman gathering by the river to pray. It's only a prayer meeting. I'm not going to go. She would have missed out on this blessing that God had for, because that was the place they were supposed to meet. How else would they have met? She was faithful in a foreign land. That's the first thing about it. This wasn't her homeland. She came there. Why? It was the Sabbath. She was faithful. She worships God. She's keeping the Sabbath. And she loved to come and gather together with the woman when they came down for worship. Yes, it may only have been a prayer meeting, but it was a prayer meeting with a difference. It was a divinely ordained and appointed prayer meeting, because God was sending the Apostle Paul to the prayer meeting. And he was going to unveil this mystery of Lydia in her life. Yeah, that's God hiding in simplicity, but people can stumble over the simplicity of it all. So she went to God's provided place of worship. She did the best that she knew. She was faithful to the light that she had. She was faithful to the truth that she knew. And because she was in the way, whenever you're in the way of God is the way of divine blessing. It's always going to come forth a blessing. God is going to do something. Now, visions only correctly speak when we're in the line of duty. There's Brother Biscoe going out with Brother Branham. They're in the middle of that vision, 42 inches and the grizzly bear. Yeah, I mean, he didn't realize what was taking place, but the prophet had seen this all by vision before and told him what was going to take place. You know, so when you're in the way, and he could feel it, he says it was like being in the vortex of a spiritual something. Something was taking place. And only when they measured the horns, it was exactly what Brother had said, it was going to be 42 inches. Then Brother says, there it is. And Biscoe realized, oh, it was Fulfillment of the vision. It's all been being fulfilled without us even realizing it. But there was the next one, the brown bear vision, where you can learn that when you're out of the way, God can also use storms. Ask Jonah about it. Now, when you're not in the way, all of providence, all of God's dealings and circumstances are going to work contrary to your way to get you back in the way. So now the winds are going to be contrary. The waves are going to be contrary. The people on the ship are going to be contrary in the end. Now, all your circumstances, when you find everything's going against you, you having to fight continually against divine providence, it's because you're not in the way. You need to be like Eliezer. You need to be yielded and be in harmony and walk softly. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. I being in the way the Lord led me. And there's the brown bear vision. Brother Abraham sees a vision. He tells everybody about it. He goes out with Brother Biskell, with Blaine Southwick and them. And Brother Abraham disobeys the vision and goes with the wrong people. He's not with the right people. It's the right time, right place, but he's with the wrong people. And the storm now comes, and for the next 7 days, they stay in the camp, raining the whole time. Until Brother Abraham comes out and says, I am the Jonah in the camp. Because he failed to follow this. Only the second time in my life, I willfully disobeyed a vision. And when he got out of the vision, got out of the way, he never received the blessing. The brown bear was there. Brother Biskell and them saw it. But Brother Abraham was supposed to be there with them to get the brown bear. He says, God brought his part. He fulfilled his part perfectly, but he was the Jonah in the camp. So we need to be careful of getting out of the way. Now look at Lydia. She attended unto the things that were spoken by Paul, the Bible says. She responded to the anointing in this season. She realized, she paid full attention. She realized something's taking place here bigger than myself. This is strange. Who are these people coming to speak? Why is it when they speak to me, something happens inside of my soul? Something is coming to life. Why does God seem so real at this time? You sense it within the veil whenever you're at the focal point of something greater than yourself that God is doing inside of your life. And like I said, God may have been building up to this for many years, preparing and guiding and leading, and bam, you feel it at those junctions in life. Expectations and leadings of the Spirit. That's what we need at those kind of times. Okay, we'll skip and come to a close of the working of Paul now. So I like this saying, work as if all depends on you. Pray as if all depends on God. You know, so you can't just pray and sit back and say, okay, God, send me a husband through the front door, you know. Oh, God, let my job offer, let somebody send me an email. No, you got to pray as if all depends on God, and then you work as if all depends on you. That's being in the way. You're getting in the Spirit. You're trying your best like Paul. Maybe it's Bithynia. Maybe it's Asia. And boom, then you break through and you find, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to do at this junction in time. So what does Paul do? They're in a city. They don't know what to do. Okay, let's find people that are worshiping. And he just feels a burden. He's got this commission, this Macedonian vision. Let's get down to let's ask around. Where do people worship? You know, Jehovah, I'll get down by the river. They go down there. He's in the way. And when he gets there, he's about the Father's business, him being in the way, the Lord leads and guides him. And now he starts seeing this mystery start to unfold itself. And why does he go down to the place that people are worshiping? He tries to, he knows that God has to be working on both ends. It's a coming together. It's two omnipotents coming together. This is the secret in testifying. This is the secret in anything. Is you find that person or those people that God has been preparing and dealing with for this meeting to bring you to that junction. If God hasn't been working on the other end, no matter what you do, it's never ever going to prosper. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, it's an exact example of that. He could see that God was working. The man was even reading the scroll of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, a prophecy about Jesus. I mean, what more could encourage a person to, I'm in the right place at the right time. And from that scripture, he preached unto him Christ. And it struck and boom, the vision was fulfilled. The seal was unveiled. The mystery went forth. He was baptized. He took the gospel down to back home to Ethiopia. So now Paul played his part. Paul did everything. He just continued on. You see, Paul, He follows the vision. He's seeking the leadership of the Lord. He gets there, gets to Philippi, goes down to the place, finds, and now he's a spiritual man. Now he's like, aha, this is where it's all been leading us to. But the final thing, nothing's going to work without the working of the Holy Ghost. We need the working of the God of circumstances. We need providence. We need God to be working in the life of Paul, which he is. He gives him a vision and he anoints him and leads him and guides him. And then God has got to work in the life of Lydia. And we see that it is. But finally, there's got to be the working of the Holy Ghost. Because without him, I mean, all the work that we do is in vain. But when you're in the will of God under divine commission, you can expect that anointing. You can expect that God to do the work that you and I cannot do. The Bible says God opened her heart. You see, it's only God who can open up the heart. It says in the scripture, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. Only God can open somebody's heart. If you're trying to speak to somebody, they don't seem to be responding. Don't try to force it, because it's no wonder that God can open the human heart. He that made the lock knows exactly the key to open it. And only God can give you the key. And if, I mean, God doesn't give you the key to open that particular heart, think of the prophet when he was went to hunt and there was the infidel sitting under the apple tree, the unbeliever. There was a key to open that man's heart. That man, a woman had been prayed for by Abraham years before with cancer, had been healed, who lived just up the hill from that man. And although this man was an infidel, he knew the story because he knew that woman, that she was dying and then she was healed. And that all is stuck inside of himself. So when Brother Branham got there now, and this man saying, I'm an infidel, I've been living here so many, I've never seen God anywhere. Branham never forced anything. He just waited. And then he started to speak. And then that man himself provided the key. Said, yes, you know, there was a certain man I'd like to meet one day. He prayed for a lady up the way here and she was healed of cancer. And Brother Branham knew that now is the key to the door. God had provided the key to that lock. And eventually I'd unfold them. Brother Branham says, do you know the man's name? He says, no. He says, it wasn't Branham. He said, yes. He said, that's me. He said, I prayed for the lady. And the same lady, who, same God who told me that that lady would be the healed, he explains it all to him. And that infidel came to Christ because Brother Branham was patient and waited for the leadership of the Lord. He knew that God has to be working on both hands. And if God has already been there, he's left a key to open the door. Yeah, that's God's work of preparation in the lives of people. And if you just find that key, and Paul found the key, and boom, God opened the heart of Lydia. Same with Rebecca. Abraham says, I believe the angel of the Lord beat him there by about half an hour. And the angel went and persuaded her heart, come down to the rivers at evening time. What is at evening time? And prepared her heart. So when Eliezer now spoke about Isaac, and her heart was opened to the things. You read your Genesis 20, 22, 24. Okay, let's finish up. Her heart was open to understand it, then to desire it, and then to accept it. Now, the longer she stayed there, now at first, God opens up. She starts understanding about Christ. Then she starts desiring the salvation. Then she accepts salvation. And then it continues on. Then she gives a public witness of it. She's baptized with her household. And then she supports it. She now besought Paul, saying, if you've judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Abide there. And she constrained us. And that became the beginning of the Philippian church, was in her house. She's walking in the vision. Yeah, it's just unfolding itself. The mystery's been opened. She's just walking, just yielding to the anointing, just walking in the light as it's being ministered to her. She's making full use of this time of visitation. When the angel's troubling the waters, she's stepping into the waters. And the virtue is going to keep flowing and flowing and flowing. She just needs to stay simply in the way. And now she started to understand the mystery of her life, why she's in Philippi, why this has happened and why that's happened. God was leading her to this particular junction in time. And it's always a progressive unfolding. It always is. So the man of Macedonia, Paul saying, okay, well, this is a woman. It must represent something. This was just the beginning of the unfolding of things in Philippi. Continue on with the chapter. Next verse, Paul and them are preaching, they're put in prison, beaten with rods. Now it's the next part of the seal is going to be broken. the next part of the Macedonian vision is going to unfold itself. There's more elect who are under the seal. There's the Philippian jailer and his family. They also need to be called, anointed, and placed in the body of Christ. And there's a message called elected, called, anointed, and placed. You know, that's what you want to be. So God slays more names under the seal, and these are going to be broken as Paul just continues walking in simplicity. You know, under this commission, under the Macedonian vision, it's going to unfold itself. And you think of how this worked. If you want to speak about the God of circumstances, God really used unusual circumstances here as well. Used them being beaten by rods, put in a prison, an earthquake, a man about to commit suicide, fall on his sword just at the right time. Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're still here. And he comes in with a light, falls down and says, what can I do to be saved? And friends, this is how the church at Philippi was formed, under the seal of redemption. And you see just how simple it can be, but how powerful and how God orchestrates events and brings everything together and everything works in a harmony. And as we finish, take it down to your life now, to the mystery of your life. It's the same as in the mystery of your life and mine. When the seals are broken off the book of your life, at certain junctions, at certain times, moving you and God guiding you and revealing himself. And let's not forget that our Macedonian call isn't finished yet. Whatever God's called us for, wherever you are, us in Dublin, we haven't yet fulfilled our Macedonian call. Now God, the God of circumstance, moved us and led us and guided us, different people from different backgrounds, different places to where we are. But it's obviously as a Macedonian call, come on over and help us. Yeah, otherwise God would have left us in our countries. There's things that we're supposed to do. May the Lord help us to go deeper in the mystery of this Macedonian call inside of our lives. Now, there's still more seals to be broken in your life, more seals in our church, in your church, wherever you are, more ministries to go for, more names to be revealed under the seals. That's why it's such an exciting thing to walk with the Lord. Now, if you walk with expectation, to realize that you're a person of destiny, God has predestined these things to us. God has laid out the mystery of your life even before you were here. We're just walking and, yeah, we're sometimes not exactly sure where to go. He closes doors, brings us to Troas. Then he opens the door and says, okay, this is where you're supposed to go. The same way that he dealt with the peoples of the past is the way that he deals with us. There's still more mysterious workings. We sing this song, you know, well, that says God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Now, there's still going to be great mysteries unfolded, things you don't understand, and doors are going to close, and just keep following it. You'll see, but wow, this is the next seal to be broken inside of my life. This is the next junction that I'm ordained to. There's names under the seal, people I'm supposed to meet, things that God wants to do. And he's been leading and guiding, bringing us to this focal point. So may the Lord help us in our Macedonian call, in our purpose that God has for each and every one of us. You don't want to be putting it off. You don't want to be putting your job number one, your studies number one for the rest of your life. You know, you want to put his call on your life, your hand on his life. If he wants to disrupt your life and say, okay, look, forget about that. I have greater things for you. What could be greater than being part of a great, great mystery purpose that the Lord has? Now, sometimes we get out of the spirit. Sometimes it seems things aren't moving. It's okay. You're in the quarry, like we said last week. You know, sometimes he's needed to put some oil on the little gears inside of there. He's got to start doing some work. He's wind up the mainspring once again. And then things will start ticking along fine. So, you know, God knows what he's doing. Nothing's out of order here. Let's just pray as we finish. Lord Jesus, we do pray for this, Lord. We think of this Macedonian call and how you just made it so clear to Paul in the end as it unfolded of where he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do and who he was supposed to witness to. And Father, he started to see the wondrous fruits of your dealings, the fruits of redemption, Lord, when he got himself just yielded to that simple place at that river upon that day and then in the jail and then the whole Philippian church coming forth. Father, we just pray that you would lead us and guide us, Lord. Father, where we've lost the vision, renew the vision. Where we've lost our momentum, Lord, may you pour in the oil and the wine. May you help each and every one of us. Lord, you are the God of circumstance, Lord. Father, to guide our footsteps, to lead us and guide us and help us. We think of little Georgie Carter, Lord, crying out there, and the prophet having a vision of a lamb bleating, saying, Milltown. There was a certain place where somebody needed help to come on over and help us. And he wasn't sure which way to go, but Father, as he followed your spirit and tried this and tried that, you led him and guided him, him being in the way, you led him according to your will. And great things came forth. Father, we desire you to be glorified in this way. We just want to yield ourselves unto thee, that you'd help each and every one of us to bring forth this kind of fruit for your glory. But just walking in simplicity with you, maybe just to testify to a neighbor or to encourage somebody in the church. Father, you know what it is, who we're supposed to be with and what you want us to do at this junction in our lives. So bless each of your people, we pray, and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, saints. Anybody want to put any thoughts, any questions, any observations? You can send them on WhatsApp if you're on YouTube. Quite a few people on YouTube. The mystery of our lives. We just don't want to be a lot. That's the important thing, to be resisting his will. You'd rather be unsure of his will and you're trying to find out his will, and you are saying, like Paul, to go this way and that. In due season, he'll open up, but you don't want to be resisting his will or willfully out of his will. That's not a wise thing to do. Anybody, saints, before we finish? Or is that enough? People have said it's more than enough. Yeah. Brian Clayton, God bless, bro.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, God bless you, bro.
Thank you for the... Thank you for the Bible study.
Right.
It's interesting. I really enjoyed the Bible study, and I just want the last part. It's really striking where you said God has not finished with us in our opening call. So every one of us, God has a purpose in our lives that goes beyond whatever natural things we do in our lives. And that purpose is attached to where he sends us and where he puts us, or the places that we stay. There was a time that I was looking for a job. I was in Limerick, and I tried to look for a job the best way I could. I think I exhausted almost all the companies in Limerick. I just couldn't get a job. But once I just applied in Dublin, it wasn't long. Then I came to Dublin. That time... It was actually the hand of God closing that door, because when I came to Dublin now, the purpose of God started to unfold in Dublin.
Yeah.
Concerning the things of the Lord.
So
quite true that when you try maybe to go to some place and things don't work out, it is actually the hand of God, because he wants you to be in this other place where he puts you.
True, bro. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. It was quite interesting and insightful. Thank you for the Bible study.
Thanks for it. Yes, I think where the problem comes in, Brother Clayton, is when we try to, when we so much want something and then we force it, like Sarah with Abraham, with Hagar. Now, those are the sorts of junctions you've got to be very, very careful, where you allow the human side to come and you so much want the job. It's okay, even if the job takes me away from fellowship or something, You don't want to be doing that, because God doesn't. The Bible says when God adds, when he gives gifts, he adds no sorrow. You know, the things that the Lord gives are perfect. He really knows what to give. But sometimes we want to take second, third, fourth best because we're just desperate to get something. But if you can hold on and wait long enough, he has good things in store for his children. God is, he still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yeah, he really knows the right thing for you. That's going to satisfy, it's going to bless your soul. And he knows the best that you need at that junction. But sometimes to hold on all the way, that's what I like about Paul. He keeps going until you strike the will of God, then full speed ahead in that will. Before that, he's knocking on the doors. He's trying to see, is this the will of God? Is this the will of God? But when he knows the will of God, nothing's going to turn him back now. It doesn't matter if there's storms on the sea. Doesn't matter if he doesn't know anybody where he's going to Neapolis and to Philippi. He knows the Lord is in this. And once he knows the will of God, he just pursues it with all of his heart. So yes, bro, it's very, very true what you're saying. We need to be careful that in our desperation, we don't look at the closed doors and get discouraged. But rather we look and see, but these are shepherding us somewhere. This is God's way of leading us to the right door. What are these closed doors? I think it was it Thomas Edison when he was trying to find out how to make a light bulb that wouldn't burst. And we watched the thing with the children once. And he tried all these different materials. I think they tried, I don't know, it was thousands of them to use as the little, whatever you call it in the light bulb, you know, with the thing that burns. But everything would just burn out very, very quickly. That little element inside of there. And then finally they found something. I think it was horse hair or something. They dipped it in something, put it in, whoop, finally it worked. But while they were going through the process, bursting all of these glass bulbs and that, it was costing a lot of money, taking a lot of time. People would get discouraged, saying, we're wasting our time. This another thing that didn't work. That's now 2,500 things haven't worked. And Thomas Edison said, no, that's encouraging. At least we know this isn't the answer. You know, so sometimes we're so desperate for the answer, but sometimes God shows us all the things that aren't the answer, and that leads us to the answer. You know, sometimes we have to learn it that kind of a way. Anybody else?
Yeah.
He knows. He knows best, but unfortunately, we don't realize that sometimes. Okay. Seems like everybody's shy today. So that's okay. Sister Dash was saying, yes, the Lord meets us in those junctions, and he brought us safely thus far. It's exciting to see what he has planned for us because it's only a good plan. That's what he said. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, he really has good thoughts for his children. And if we can just walk with him, let his will be done. Okay. Saints, if that's it, boy, let's ask Brother Clayton to pray for us, please, bro. Only him and Brother Jesse are the, and Sister Roseanne are the only ones who put the camera, so we'll ask Brother Clayton to pray for us. Oh, Brother Tony, God bless. You were there before. Sorry, bro. Now it's good you broke the seal again. We can see you again. So God bless. Brother Clayton, God bless, bro, if you pray for us.
Dear Lord, our precious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Father, at this time. Lord, we really appreciate you, Father, for these times when we gather, Lord, in your name, in a Bible study like this, and we pray for your blessings, Father, upon each and everyone, Lord, that have listened to this Bible study. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, and Lord Jesus, may you quicken the Macedonian call, Father, in our lives, Heavenly Father. We know, Father, that each and every one of us, you put us here on earth for a purpose. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that may that purpose, Father, be made manifest in our lives. Each and every family, Lord God Almighty, may we have a God's purpose in our lives, Father, be upon our hearts, O God. And we pray that, Lord Jesus, you may continue to work in us, Father. Sometimes we make mistakes along the way, but Lord Jesus, you are careful to bring us back in the road. Yes. And we pray, Father, that, Lord Jesus, when we come to the end of the journey, Father, we want to be received of thee as faithful servants, Lord God Almighty. Just like our sister Lydia, Father, in the Bible, she was so faithful. Yes. When you spoke to her, Father, Lord God Almighty, she opened her heart and she was faithful to the call that you called her, Father. And I pray, Father, for each and everyone, Lord Jesus, tuned in, that you open our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we may be faithful, Father, to your call. May you bless us, Father. May you bless each and every family, Lord God Almighty. We really appreciate you. We pray for our pastor. May you bless him. May you restore, Father, the virtues and give him more wisdom, Lord God Almighty, to continue, Father, to expound your word to us. We pray that, Lord Jesus, that you will bless even our fellowship, Father, Lord God Almighty, when we meet with one another. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, you will bless us, Father, in our homes, even when we meet at the family altars, that you will bless us, Father, as we ponder upon these words, O God Almighty, as we ponder upon your word, O God. May you bless us, Father, even when we meet on a Bible, on a Friday service, Father, in a prayer meeting. May you bless us, Father, when we meet in your house, Father, on a Sunday, We also pray, Father, Lord God Almighty, for the fellowship, for the youth that will meet on Saturday, that you bless them also, Father. We just want your blessings upon us, Father, on everything, Lord Jesus Christ. And how I pray, Father, that you bless our pastor's family as well, Father, our sister Kitana and family. May you
Amen.
continue to bless them, Lord Jesus, even as they support the ministry, as they also, Father, Lord God Almighty, stand to support our pastor at this time. Lord, even those that are in the lands that are far, may you bless them also, Father, realizing, Father, that some will be listening afterwards, oh God, maybe some are actually working and they will find time to listen to this Bible study. May you speak to them and may you bless them. May it be such a blessing to each and everyone that will listen. We commit it to you, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless. God bless you, by Georgie. God bless, bro. God bless each of my sister Roseanne. God bless by Jess, each of one who's joined.
Good night. Thanks.
Rawr.
Thanks,
God bless. Have
God
a good night, guys.
God bless. Night night.
Good night. Good night, South Africa. Bye bye.
Everyone's disappearing.
Bye.